following is an Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. May well be a wet Wednesday. Before long, it has been getting darker.
Bring the pets in.
I know it gets dark at night, but no, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it shouldn't be this dark. We are under, I believe, we just went under, at least the last time I looked, a flood watch in effect until tomorrow morning. There is some rain expected here in the area, and a good bit of it. So be ready for that. Look, we need some rain. We don't need flooding. We need the rain. I mean, we're obviously in drought concerns here in this area. All right. So that's our top of the hour weather as we get started here on the Wednesday Drive.
What, anything to report in traffic? Do you want to go over to the Jason in the traffic copter?
What's my name? Major Delay.
That's right. We got.
Yeah, no. Hey, traffic department, knock on wood right now, is really good because with
it is,
graduation
because student,
clear.
Students
yeah,
are mostly gone.
This is about as good a traffic report as you can have right
now. That sounds
at
good.
Our core, we are a local show.
That is
and,
right.
Yeah, little
we're
wet.
Helping you out.
Little weather, little traffic.
Yep. And a little sports, if you will. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining Bill and Dan here in the studio. JC, how you doing?
I'm good. Enjoying like I said, a good day, a little overcast, not too hot. So got a little grass cut today and watched a little bit of the softball. And, man, that
– how about that?
You look at it and go, first of all, you go, that's sports in a nutshell. You mm-hmm. look and – I went back and looked, and they had a stretch of 14 games where they hit four home runs.
Total.
They hit a lot early in the season. They hit some and played some good teams.
They had a dry spell during the season.
But you look up and you go, they've had – five today, seven last 2 days in the SEC tournament, and just swinging a bat. And so it's
– yeah, was it 11-8?
Yeah, 11-8. Yeah. They were up 8-3. Texas A&M tied it 8-8 and had runners on the corners in the bottom of the sixth. And Auburn was able to wiggle out of that and keep it tied. And then a great two-out, two-strike at bat, three-run home run and – then they kind of slammed the door. So, look, they've given themselves an opportunity now because there's no question in my mind if Auburn beats Florida tomorrow and they finish at 500,
yeah,
they're going to be an NCAA tournament team because their RPI is going to be in the 30s probably, I would guess. Today was I don't know if A&M's ranked. They were a 6 seed. They may have been ranked, but – they got three or four wins over ranked teams, and if you were to beat Florida, you'd go 2-2 against.
Oh yeah, Florida's the 3 seed.
Yeah, you would go 2-2 against a national seed. That would be really big. Looking at it, this it's a young team. There's a lot of freshmen, sophomores that are playing key roles for this team, and it makes you feel like this could be a stepping stone moment for them. And so it was fun to see them swing it today.
Yeah, so they get the win today. Last night, Auburn baseball gets the win up in Birmingham against UAB. Butch didn't sound thrilled after the game, but, 10-2, you get four innings out of Griffin last night, and you really were able to save guys that you're going to need here starting tomorrow in Starkville.
Yeah, no, it was – I agreed with him a little bit. I thought it was a little bit of a sluggish game, mm-hmm. but, you think
that's,
about it.
That's sort of to be understood. When you've been on the road, you had such a big series, you're going right back on the road.
They spent two nights in their beds, but one day here.
Uh-huh.
And then you're back on the road. Quick turnaround, and that's the thing you look at this week. How much of an impact will that have? Obviously, they're shaking up the rotation. Jake Marciano back into the lead role. But it's a Thursday night, and listen, they were going to have to do somebody this way. Somebody was going to have to pitch on short rest. And I think in the end they felt like Jackson Sanders was too valuable in his role out of the bullpen.
He has been lights out.
Yeah.
Since he's moved into that super utility type role as a pitcher, because he's come in middle innings, been able to finish from that point, being able to close games. He's been able to come in and just throw, you know, everything he's got from the outset and not worry about, you know, saving himself.
And I think that's the key for him, because it reminds me of Carson Skipper. It reminds me of some of these guys that we've seen do something similar in the past few years, you know, for them. And so went back and George Nunley sent us a thing today. The last five series, Jackson Sanders has four appearances, but he's 1-0 with a 1.32 ERA and three saves. So
what are his strikeouts to innings pitched?
Yeah, it's 20 strikeouts, 13.2 innings pitched.
Yeah, so he's averaging like 1.5 strikeouts an inning.
He has walked more. He's got 8 walks in those 13 innings, but 4 or 5 of those were the other day at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
But would you want to guess who the best ERA is on the team in the last five series?
How many innings?
We'll go more than 10.
Okay. There are a couple of guys that come to mind. Abe Chancellor.
L.J. Cormier.
Oh, okay. I was thinking L.J.
Abe Chancellor's only 3 innings for him.
Oh, okay. That's right.
L.J. in 11.1 innings, 0.79 ERA. He's allowed 10 hits, one earned run, 13 strikeouts. But you look at batting average allowed, man, Alex Petrovic has thrown 30 innings in these 5 weekends, giving up a 1.83 batting average. That's pretty impressive. Auburn allowing right now a team batting average of .226 the last 5 series.
It's been kind of the way things have shifted from the beginning of the season, when we were talking about the lineup having all these known quantities in it and whether or not you were going to have enough pitching to get through a really difficult SEC slate. Pitching has delivered all season. You've had stretches where the lineup was the big question, but now, I listened to some of the Texas A&M radio call this weekend, Jason, and they're talking about Auburn as a team that has everything you need to make a run in the postseason, a team that has everything you need for to win in super regional play, and a team that, like, they were talking about Auburn as one of the safer bets for Omaha from where they sat, because it's a team that has it's not a team that is waiting for a certain part of the roster to come around.
Correct, and you don't have to depend on one or the other. You don't either have to score a bunch of runs. That's the thing, because you would expect sooner or later that you're going to have a weekend where you have to score a bunch of runs. It's just the nature of college baseball. You're going to have a weekend at some point where you go, man, pitching just wasn't as good, and you got to go score some runs. Will that happen? I don't know. It could happen this week with a short turnaround. This is probably the most vulnerable series for Auburn pitching because of the days off.
Right. We were talking about it before we came on. I mean, Jake's going on 2 days shorter rest than he has.
And Alvarez will have a day short.
And Petrovic are going a day short.
Yep.
So, I mean, you've got guys that don't have their normal rest, and you're back on the road in a wild atmosphere.
It could happen in either of these next 2 weekends because of the quality of the opponent.
And Georgia can really swing facing it.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like, it's not a given, right? Because you have when you have 3 starters of this quality.
No, I mean, you just did something that nobody's been able to do to Texas A&M all year. I mean,
that's it. And so you go, look, body of work would tell you that they're going to give you a chance to win, and that's all you're looking for. And can you go out and score? Now, on the flip side of this is that you may face, and they face some good ones, you may face the best pitcher you've seen all year tomorrow night in Tomas Valinkas.
He is
Tomas Valinkas. His brother is Vitas Valencius.
I see. It looks like Valencius. That's what I thought. I thought it was
brother.
Okay, well,
and they're not pronounced the same.
Well, it just maybe depends on where's his brother.
They're there on the same team.
Okay, I'm thinking, well, maybe they, you know,
that's a new one.
It is a new one. But yes.
I wonder what mom.
I think she says it differently as well, and so. But he may be as good as they faced all year. Yeah. Another lefty.
Lefty with a sub 2.5 ERA.
And so, like, you know, it just, once again, this team has battled. I wouldn't expect anything different. And I think that was part of the maybe the mindset and the message from Butch Thompson last night, because he said, look, this is not good enough. And it probably wasn't. But you also, listen, after Griffin Graves, it was, hey, hadn't thrown in a while, hasn't thrown in a while, hasn't thrown in a while. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to come in. And then you add to it, it's hard to come in and pitch when it's 10 to nothing. Because you're going to throw strikes, and you throw strikes. And as we know anything about a Casey Dunn coach team, if you throw strikes, they're going to hit the ball.
They're going to swing it and hit it. Yep, you're right.
To me, it was a business trip. Hey, it wasn't – you weren't fired up, but you went out and took care of business and won a game. And that's what right now, that's all you can ask for. You're 14-10. You have accomplished your first goal. Your first goal was to qualify for and get a regional bid. That's done.
Oh, you're right.
No matter what happens.
Now
your next one is to try to get a regional at home.
Don't you think splitting the last six would do it?
Oh, if you're 17-13 with Auburn's mm-hmm. schedule, you're probably going to be the 5 or 6
national seed. That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think can you get to 3-3 these last couple of weekends? If you do that, you have put yourself in great shape. And listen, people have talked about, hey, can you get a double bye in SEC tournament? It's back to single elimination now. Look,
you know what? I think if you split the last six, you probably
you'll have a shot
of doing it.
But because everybody's going to be beating each other here down the stretch. But in the grand scheme of things,
no, your situation
worried about
NCAA tournament's a lot more important than the SEC.
100%.
Jason, speaking of the SEC tournament. I meant to ask Andy yesterday, but your thoughts on the ABS being in play here in the Southeastern Conference tournament.
I don't like it.
If you want to means test it during a season, I kind of like SEC tournament play more than a regular.
I don't want it at all ever.
More than a regular.
Yeah, but
season.
I mean, okay. I think you're going to have it.
I don't want it. It's just me. I just don't want it. I don't.
It's funny.
There's already too many breaks in the game and all this stuff. And I know the Major League Baseball, they can do it really quickly. I don't have any faith that the Southeastern Conference is going to sit in a room and do this really quick.
No, I hadn't thought about that, Jason. I've just thought I like the way it's worked in Major League Baseball, and
you also
could work
have
that.
The best umpires,
right?
And people make a big deal out of a guy that misses a strike zone by an inch in Major League Baseball, and they go, "Man, how do you miss that call? Just wait, you're going to see something missed by 6-8 inches." In this sport. And I don't know that you're not going to be able to correct it. And I don't want this thing to become robotic. I still like the human element. And sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. But I don't want to sit here and wait to look at a screen every time we're playing a baseball game like we get at football.
And I like limiting it. It's three, right?
If you keep winning,
you keep winning them.
You get three strikes and you're done. Three misses and you're done. But I mean, as long as you make, you keep going.
Jason's worried that some of these coaches might get on hot streaks where they win 15 or 20.
Well, the thing is, no, he's right. I mean, there's some umpires who miss a lot of calls. And the thing is, it's easier perhaps to get adjusted to where the strike zone is than to have to go, okay, here's another challenge, another one got right, and have one or two an inning
that's always
for the entire
been,
game. I hadn't thought about that.
That's always been part of the game is, hey, you know what, he is giving the pitcher the low strike. You know what you better do? If there's any question on the ball
that you feel
likes it down, you better swing the bat.
Yep.
And I don't want to see it just where it becomes robotic where you're going, well, if it's in that square, that's a strike. Well,
see, I don't have a problem with that. I'd rather that than incompetent balls and strikes.
Yeah, I just think.
And I'm about as traditionalist as you get in baseball.
I just don't
but,
want
I mean,
to
that's
sit
one,
there and
I can't
look
stand,
at a screen all the time.
Yeah,
I just and it's
I wasn't a pitcher though. That may be part of it.
Yeah,
that's where we're on different sides.
But I think Jason's idea that like it's like. Because I hadn't really thought about the idea of like how long is it going to take, and I think if Jason ends up being right that like this thing,
yeah, I mean if we're going to be you know even a 45 seconds mm-hmm. that like you start doing 45 seconds and you have 8-9 of those a game.
Mm-hmm. Now if it's tennis where we can get the answer within 5 or 10 seconds,
yes,
I think that's less of it. It's less of an
and
issue.
Here's the thing, and you go like, okay, just touching that line, is that good enough now? You're going to have, and that's it. And like,
I believe in Major League Baseball, yes, right?
If it touches any part of the drawing of the square.
If a seam
yes,
is touching.
Then it's a strike.
Any part of that square. Even the outermost millimeter, right? Like that's a strike.
I'm just afraid that we're going to get to this where they're going to have to blow it up.
I'm not a fan of that. I'd rather it all be inside the at least the outer, you know, the drawing of the strike zone.
Yeah, instead of just touching it.
Yes,
I mean that's. But again, that's a big difference.
It is.
I mean, you're talking about.
I want strikes to be strikes.
Correct. So yes,
spoken as a former hitter and not pitcher.
Again, but like I said,
both sons were pitchers. They probably have different ideas.
It's more about I'm tired of breaks. I'm tired of waiting.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm tired of games dragging.
You know, you make a call and they go and it's 4 or 5 minutes. Before
and sometimes
they come
it's
out
obvious. It's pretty obvious. You see it up there on the board, and you know.
Here's my thing. If it's obvious, do it. If it's not obvious, then stand whatever is called on the field. If it takes you 4 or 5 minutes to do it, then you obviously don't know what you're doing.
Here's what we had a caller yesterday suggest, and it sounded pretty reasonable to me. Why not let them do it like basketball officials, or you know, it's like see it right there. Don't have to leave the field. Let's all see the replay and make the call. And go ahead and do it.
Yeah. You're trusting guys. Here's the thing I don't like about it, because it makes it really tough for a guy to call his partner out right there and go,
"That's true.
Hey, buddy, you missed that call." It's much easier for somebody that's not part of that crew to go, "Nope, y'all missed it." It's hard for somebody to go, "Golly, you missed that. I'm fixing to embarrass you in front of all these people."
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, I think that's part of why the umpire union fought automating the strike zone in Major League Baseball for a long time, right? Was the thought that you could have days where
a bad day.
Or you could have an umpire.
Or you have a bad ump.
You have an umpire in particular. It's like, wow, a lot of his strikes are getting over.
Oh, don't think that by midseason you're gonna start seeing numbers of who's the best, who's the worst at calling strikes. Who's got the high strike zone, who calls more high balls as strikes and vice versa. So, yeah, it's interesting. All right, we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive. Jason Caldwell with us here in hour number one, as is usually the case. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Come on in and join us.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell here in hour number one. And, you know, you can join in anything on your mind, questions, thoughts, comments, about anything going on in the world of sports.
Yeah, so we talked to Andy yesterday, long conversation, Jason, and it was, I mean, very little of it was about football or men's basketball, because you've got...
There's plenty going on.
I mean, there's a really incredible baseball season happening. Softball picks up another win in the SEC tournament, and then you've got some sports that really feel like they've got a chance to bring home national champ. I mean, look, baseball does too. Like, I mean, baseball's in the top five.
Yeah, you're right. They down the line, they do. But there's no question right now that women's tennis absolutely.
Women's tennis and men's golf. I mean, they are the class.
And to me, God, there's no question. Golf can. It's such a different world. Match play. We saw an SEC tournament. Like it's harder to predict that one.
Mm-hmm.
You think, man, there's no question to me they're the most talented team in the country. But it's match play golf is so different that you just like, well, there may be one of these days, or you meet a team that says, look, we're just going to go try to make a bunch of birdies because a triple bogey doesn't matter.
Right. You lose.
Team is so good at going, listen, we're not going to make mistakes. We're going to keep doing that. And that means in stroke play, you're exceptionally good. In match play, sometimes somebody – like I tried to explain to somebody, I said, listen, you could shoot 70 and lose to somebody that shot 80 in match play. Easy. I mean, you know, they make three triple bogeys.
Good holes are better than –
Well,
you
they're
know.
But because the bad hole doesn't matter.
Right, that's what I mean.
You'd rather just make a quadruple bogey. You just might as well. But they're going to have a shot. Their number one seed came out today. But
in Athens, as expected.
Yes, yep.
And it's not, I mean, I think for folks sort of wondering, like, how significant, I mean, you look at Auburn's history of national championships outside of football, and Auburn, you know, has the, they have national championships, and now they claim more in football. But, like, outside of that, swimming and diving won several men's and women's titles in the 90s and the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Outdoor track and field, women's outdoor track and field won one in the 2000s. And,
Equestrian.
You've got equestrian championships, yes. Which I know that's a different thing because it's not an NCAA championship, right? Yeah. It's a different Correct. Organization. But like as far as NCAA championships, like swimming and diving have a bunch. I think 13 combined.
Yes.
Outdoor track and field, women's outdoor track and field won one 20 years ago. Men's golf won the 24.
Correct.
And it's like that's the list. Yeah. And for women's tennis has never won one before. To bring that home would be incredible. And men's golf to win 2 in 3 years.
Yeah, would be unbelievable.
No, I mean, then of course Omaha, right? You've yeah. down the line the possibility yeah, of possibility. Baseball.
Like, listen, yeah, that's one to just get there. We can just get there, they'll have a shot. But man, looking forward, I actually ran into Jordan Szabo today, lunch, and I went out and watched them last weekend, and they're really good. That women's tennis team, good. They play at 5 o'clock Friday night. I would encourage people this. If you haven't, go watch them play, go watch it. Because it is not what you think about, you know, if you grew up going to watch women's tennis or what. Like, this is professional-level tennis. Mm-hmm. Like, they are good, and they crush the ball. I mean, like, they can play. And so they have a legit chance.
And Andy was talking about your Monday morning quarterback column where you mentioned that, how impressed he was that you were that impressed.
Yeah,
by
no, and this is somebody. I mean, I grew up playing tennis, and when you watch them play, you go. And again, I talked to some folks. I helped coach a state championship team, and played with two guys in high school that came to Auburn and played. But you watch them now, and you go, golly, it's they're so good. Hit the ball so hard, like it is not what you think about. I think about growing up watching Chris Everett play, and you go like, mm-hmm. that's not how women's tennis is played anymore.
No, my goodness,
It is now because I watched.
No, it used to be precision. Yeah, and you, was, you know, back, was it
backhand, yes. and you make somebody make mistakes. No,
now that it's power.
It is power, and so it was fun to watch, and looking forward to getting out there again and watching them. And yeah, I mean, they have 3 losses, two of them to Georgia. Probably going to have to beat Georgia on their home court.
DJ might be the best to ever come through Auburn women's tennis. Too. DJ Bennett is phenomenal.
This whole team, yeah. Her longevity here, being here 4 years, doing that. I mean, like, yeah.
Like to me, DJ and then you've got Jackson Koivun, right? Or it's like you've got a couple of people
you have an opportunity.
Shattering.
You have an opportunity, yes, to have some people that can do some things in team sports that haven't been done around here. And, yes.
Could play for a long time as professionals, too. Because I don't know if we've mentioned, like, the really cool thing Christian did with Jackson.
Yes.
Like, and I really hope people check that out because it's a neat thing. And
yeah, on our YouTube page.
And Christian, that's a guy who deserves a lot of attention for the career he's having
at Auburn. Christian went out, and you know, we've done a lot with the golf team the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, and obviously Nick's been great. And, like, listen – Christian went to the SEC tournament and you know, watched them and did some things and got to basically embed himself there. So that was a fun part of it. But, yeah, on our YouTube page, he went kind of one-on-one and just hung out with Jackson in a range session.
That's really cool. Before we get to our bottom of the hour break, let's pass along. We just received the U.S. National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch for Lee County.
And there is a warning in Montgomery.
For Auburn, yep, and it's in effect until 11 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, that's in Montgomery right now.
Yep, it's headed it's headed this way. Weather, some strong stuff is headed this way. Hopefully no tornadoes, but be advised a tornado watch is in effect here in Auburn and a warning to our west. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Halfway done with hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive.
PNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Jason Caldwell. And you know, we've been giving weather updates. And Jason, just before the break, showed me a breaking story involving local high school softball.
Yeah. This friend of Jacob, he said, yeah, I guess they gave him a heads up because they had to get prepared for from a radio perspective. But, you know, Auburn High softball won the region, was a perfect 6-0, and then lost in the region tournament, lost to Smith's.
Mm-hmm.
Central won it. The top two teams advanced to the state tournament.
Right.
Well, Smith's apparently has been placed on probation due to violation of a contest limitation rule. That means Auburn is back in the state tournament
contest
now.
Contest limitation rule.
Is that number of players? I don't even know what contest limitation is.
I don't know if it's somebody that had been in the game maybe that came back in.
Yeah,
I have
something
no idea.
Like that, because there can't be a rule that she'd played too many games because they only have so many games. But it was
too many players on scholarship?
Yeah.
But
anyway, high school, they're not doing that.
So Auburn High has – you're talking about second life. When you've been given second life, that's given second life.
You're not kidding. All right, that sort of brings and off topic, but not completely. All right, Wednesdays I spend a little time with Wimp and Barry Sanderson on their show, and they asked me about something. Barry asked me, and I didn't realize this, that you know, Alabama and Mississippi now are the only two states in the Southeastern that have Southeastern Conference teams that don't now have high school NIL. And Barry was saying he's already hearing, you know, some talk from high school parents that, hey, if this doesn't change, why does my kid need to stay in this state? Why didn't he go out of state so he can get an NIL?
Oh, that's 2 years. That's 2 years already down the road.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we saw it.
But you're really putting yourself, it's sort of like the days back when you had the lotteries in states and baseball was having to fight that situation.
Here's my thought.
I'm not crazy about it.
Look,
it is what it is.
Well, it is what it is. But what high school player in the state of Alabama right now has enough cachet to have NIL?
Maybe Seaborn. Right, just because he's been the he would be the only one I could, just because he's been the state champion
may be
for
one. Yeah. What would that be?
Right, locally.
A couple $1,000.
Locally, maybe furniture ad.
That's it. There's no realistic NIL opportunity.
Not real NIL. No.
But Caleb Holt left. I mean, they left. The top two basketball players in the state 2 years ago left and moved to Georgia.
Right,
and this is again talking about what real cachet would he have as a spokesman on the ad market?
Yeah.
This is what you're talking
about. But that doesn't mean that kids.
What value? Now, what value?
Money.
What value would he have to a local program that wanted to hire him?
A lot.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just like right now. I mean, when we're in college sports, I mean, this is not NIL.
No,
it's not what it is.
Byron Brown didn't choose Auburn for marketability reasons, right?
There's not one anywhere.
Exactly. That's not what we're talking
anywhere.
About.
Yeah. And so you look at it, there's so many layers to it, but you're right. Is how is it going to work for kids? It's been a couple of years in the making where high school coaches go, I don't want it, but I'm fixing to start losing my players to schools in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Who can now basically give them scholarships, and that's what this equipment. Now, can you give are high school programs going to give enough money to move somebody's family over there? That's my question. Are you going to go get new jobs? Are you going to do these things?
Now, some people said that's been happening for a while in different states.
Yeah,
I mean, listen,
I'm not saying it's people have done that for years, but you start going okay. Now you're going to do it above board, and you're going to go, hey, here you go. I don't know. Everything about everything that we're watching right now is unimaginable to me. It just is.
Oh,
it's unimaginable.
It definitely was
to me
less than 10 years ago.
I mean, just think about, there's reports that like Tennessee signed a basketball player that they said his agent was asking for $5 million. $5 million for a one-year transfer basketball player. And he got it somewhere. I mean, maybe Tennessee didn't pay him $5 million. They paid him a lot. I just can't fathom where we are right now in college athletics and in quote-unquote amateur athletics. It's just it's hard to digest.
I would say part of what, one of the other things we're seeing now, and that's the expansion of the playoffs, is to create more revenue.
Yeah, in basketball, I think it's awful. I really do. I think it's terrible.
How do you feel about 24 in football, though?
At least the percentages are a little bit there.
That's true. 24 out of 130 is better.
I don't like 24, though.
I don't like the bias.
Correct. If you're going to do it, just go 32, but I want everybody to have to play every round. Mm-hmm. There's no offs. There's no buys. Like either 16 – I'd rather it be 16 than 24.
If it's 24, and I really – see, I've just avoided really thinking about 24. Is it eight teams getting byes?
Correct. I think so. Yeah, and then you have – and
from 24 to 16.
Yeah, yeah.
I would much rather have 16 and
absolutely
play eight campus games.
Yep.
Eight campus games in a two-day window would be unbelievable TV. Yep. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic. I'd be all for that. And then you get down to eight teams – four games, use your four major bowl games.
Where are you on conference championship game weekend?
I'm out of it.
Oh, yeah. I don't see any reason for that weekend.
Move everything
could
up.
Could be Friday, Saturday of conference championship game.
I want to have college football done by the first week of January. That's not going to happen.
The dream is, that's as long as ESPN and Fox have executives who breathe air. They're not going to let us have it because the championship should be on New Year's Day.
Yeah, we don't need to be playing college football in February.
In a perfect world,
I'm fine with what used to be like January 8th. Fine with that.
But because now if you crown a champion on January 1st, you can open the portal on January 2nd.
Yes, and you can have time to get people in.
And that's in a way that you don't right now.
That's the whole
point
of
everyone.
This. And you don't have to. That team doesn't get extra days. Exactly. You don't have to worry about are they on a quarter system?
I think college football could own a New Year's Day national championship in a way that they
used to.
And in a way that they don't really own that Monday championship.
Here's the other part about it.
A couple of weeks into January when the NFL playoffs
are
in full swing.
If I was a college commissioner, or whoever they want to have a commissioner of college sports, like college basketball now doesn't even begin till February for most people.
You're right.
Because of the way football has done.
They're talking about moving
football's going till almost the end of January.
They're talking about moving the players' era into January because they don't want to play those games while you're competing.
Are they going to be going against playoffs?
They don't want it to be going on during like the regular season for football and the NFL and everything like that. They think during the week. And here's the thing: it's like, what
January is also conference.
Conference play. Yeah, what
it's
use? Like, yeah. I mean, I understand. I understand maybe there's a bigger TV audience for those games in January than there would be in November. Maybe. But the thought of moving.
Can you imagine you're getting going in conference. You're like two or three games in conference play, and you're supposed to go to Vegas for a weekend?
I think those games that Duke just signed with Amazon, I think a couple of those are in the middle of ACC play where they're going to play big. They're going to take a break in ACC play to go play a big non-con game on Amazon.
Where are they going to have to go cross country and stay there for a few days?
I think there'll be neutral site games. But it's an odd thing to volunteer to do,
it's entirely out of revenue.
It's
different playing a game than it is playing in a tournament.
Here's the thing, though.
In conference season.
What if you're playing those in Vegas, right? Is that where they're going to be? Yeah. Well, what if you're Duke and you're playing Cal or somebody, Stanford.
Now, that would make sense when you're in a conference that does have West Coast teams.
You just stay gone for 2 weeks.
Right. That's okay. That makes more sense than you're playing, somebody on the East Coast.
Well, they do that every Tuesday night, but then
you go to a tournament though for a few days and then come back. I don't know.
It's all right now. It feels like basketball is just the NBA where you're like, well, just do whatever you want to. It doesn't matter.
I don't like the idea. I mean, at the very least, and I know the bar is very low when you're saying, well, at least they're not taking the 64 team bracket away. You will still have a 64 team bracket the morning of the Thursday morning that the tournament starts. But they have watered down the tournament with these extra teams, and I think they've taken some of the significance away from making the tournament.
I think they put more pressure on coaches.
Oh, sure.
If you don't make this field, you're in trouble.
Yes.
And here's my other part of this.
You might, and it might not save you anyway.
No, and we've seen coaches make. I said this every time, and I feel more strongly about it now. We talked about it last week. Nobody that plays on Tuesday and Wednesday should be a team that won their conference. I don't care if you're a 16 seed, a 15, whoever it is.
You know, it's going to happen.
Get the 16 games, take them away.
Everybody in those games should be somebody that was an at-large bid.
Now, I believe they are keeping the two at-large games for the 16 seeds that already happened, and then the other – but the eight –
the other is going to be like 11, 12, 13.
Yeah, well, I believe the eight new games that they've added, because they're going from 68 to 76, so they've added eight more games to Tuesday and Wednesday. I believe all eight of those will be teams involving at-large, games involving at-larges.
This is the perfect opportunity to make all of them.
I would have gotten rid of the two 16-seed games, personally. But
there's nobody – that I feel like gets shafted worse than a 16 seed who has to play another 16 seed, and they feel like, well, that didn't make that. That's not the NCAA tournament.
A team that wins their conference and still doesn't get to be in the field of 64.
It's not right.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not right.
I agree.
334-321-1390.
And I know some people will say, well, the 16 seed that wins that play-in game gets to enjoy the feeling of winning an NCAA tournament game. I don't like the trade-off there
It's a different feeling for me than thinking about Troy football, where you go like, well, they get to go win a bowl game. I don't care. I would rather go to have a chance to win a championship, because that's different. Yep. Basketball, you're not going to split off and have a like, this is what it is. I would want to go win a championship. Well, they're not going to win a championship anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. What is what's going to happen? Somebody asked this the other day. What's going to happen to the NIT, which the NCAA now has control of?
It'll be entirely mid-majors.
It'll be all mid-majors.
Power four teams will ever be in there.
No, and there you go. That's what they'll be.
Because that's the other.
So then, what's better? What would be better if you're a team that would be a 16 seed? Would it be better to be in the NCAA tournament as a play-in 16 or be in the NIT?
Sure.
Yeah, no. But again, it's not a national championship.
I know.
Whereas if the FCS is a national championship.
And what's a shame about expanding the NCAA tournament in this way too is that, like, you have the opportunity to put in more teams that won their conference regular season championship but lost in the conference tournament, and therefore don't get automatic bids but can be selected as at-larges.
See,
they're not going to pick those teams, though. They're going to pick SEC teams that went 7-11 or 6-12.
Here's what's got to happen, first of all. You've got to have a set guideline. Is it RPI? Is it net? Whatever it is, and go by the book. Hey, here's who's picked. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, if you want to get in there, well, we can't get anybody to play us. Well, you better go find somebody. And I know it's harder. It's easier said than done. But you're going to have to go find somebody to go, hey, look, hey, we'll come there.
That's it. Because if you went by the numbers, Miami of Ohio might have gotten left out this year just because some of those overall numbers.
I think you got to take it, because people are like, well, take it out of every committee. Okay. I'm the same thing for football. You know what you could do? You go back to the old numbers.
Bring back the BCS.
Go back to the old numbers and say, oh, here they are. Here's the teams that are in. That's it. And there's no argument.
Well, and now that we're getting to the expanded, postseasons, I know the coaches appear to be all for it because it gives them a better chance of getting in. But boy, if you don't get in,
it brings them trouble.
If you're not in the 24 team field in football or the 76 team field, my goodness, yeah, it's like if you're not one of the 76 teams that gets in basketball, good luck.
Yes, very good luck.
All right, we'll get to our final break here of hour number one. We've headed in all kinds of directions. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Were you
with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Again, be prepared, folks. There's some strong rain, at least, coming. We're looking at some pictures in the Montgomery area.
Look at that, Jason.
It is.
That's the airport.
That looks like shots of a hurricane.
That looks like footage from a hurricane
from Florida. Yeah, my goodness.
Our pals at WSFA have some live
tornado
live
warning
video
for Lowndes in Montgomery counties. I know. Ooh. I think Autauga County as well. We're under a tornado watch. And so there is a 100% chance of rain in a little while.
So we're
getting a flood watch in effect until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning.
That's a glimpse of what we're gonna get a taste of in a couple of hours.
I hope not.
Well, it looks like right now that cell is coming, obviously through Montgomery.
Usually comes right up the 85.
It is coming down 85, but 85 shifts north a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing, I would say right now, probably more Tuskegee and then going toward Columbus a little bit. Hopefully, okay. But it
makes
looks like it may be a hair.
Just south of the
maybe a hair below us as it's moving right now.
My
goodness. Everybody in this vicinity and
we're gonna get some rain.
We're gonna get some for
sure. It's gonna turn quick too because they were going live from the airport at the beginning of our show at the top of the hour and it was clear. Mm-hmm. Right, like this has changed. Yeah,
this is
rapidly.
These are one of those that those cells that get out in front of a storm. So these are the ones that are racing out in front of the line because the line's not going to be here till later tonight. These are those ones that you pop up and go, man. These are the ones that become really dangerous. Apparently, so hopefully everybody stays safe.
A lot of lightning too. So be on alert. Don't try to brave this thing in the outdoors.
That means
bring the pets in.
Your dogs are not gonna like this.
Yep.
So, be prepared for that. All right, Jason, a few minutes left here in hour number one. What all's on tap? I mean, we talked about some of the things that are going on. Obviously, huge, huge baseball weekend. We didn't really talk that much about it, but with the decision really sort of going back to the way it was a few weeks ago with Jake Marciano opening things up on Thursday and then Dre Alvarez going Friday, along with then Alex on Saturday. I mean, Auburn right now, it's 7 games in 8 days, but I would think that the guys, especially in the lineup, don't mind. And when you've got a team that's hot and swinging the bat like this, they probably want to get right back out there and play another one.
I think so. And like I said, it'll be a challenge. Mississippi State they can pitch it, so it'll be a difficult series for them going over there. And obviously, lots of folks packed in over there this weekend as well.
You're they lead the nation in
14,000 people for these baseball games.
We looked at it, and they are the Miami Marlins are barely outdrawing.
And if they really counted folks, they probably wouldn't.
No, you're right.
And it's also Miami versus
Starkville. A little bit bigger stadium and metropolitan area.
There's a few more folks in Dade and Broward counties than there are in Starkville, Mississippi. Yes,
the Golden Triangle.
But yeah, so obviously, baseball, big one for them starts. And look, 2 series left, and 14-10 overall, within striking distance of kind of that top four. But like I said, you're looking for, can you get to 17, 18? If you could do that, it would be 100% slam dunk that you're going to be a national seed, and that's kind of the goal for them right now. But listen, I look at this team, and I'm like, we talked about it, like swinging the bat well, you're starting to do some of those things. And look, Chris Rembert is hitting .328 over the last 5 series, but no home runs. I feel like there's one of those weekends like Chase Frelick had last weekend where you go, man, it comes all together and that guy has 4 or 5 home runs. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't happen. But I still feel like that's in there for Chris Rembert. And if that were to happen, then it'd change everything for this team because Eric Gavar is swinging it well. Ethan Bingaman, Bingham and Mace McCrane are second, third on this team in the last 5 weeks in batting average in league play.
Are you tracking like Bingham's competition for freshman of the year in the SEC? Because I just wonder who else is having this kind of year, especially when you isolate conference.
There's
play.
Some really good ones. They just faced one last weekend. The big kid from Texas A&M is good, but you look at the way Bingham is finishing, and he is really swinging it well right now. There'll be some competition because there's so many good young players in this league every year. That's the way it goes.
He's crushing the ball.
He's doing tremendous. But yeah, I think Texas A&M's got a couple of options. there's a couple of those guys that you look at, but he's going to have some support for sure, especially if he keeps doing this.
Yeah, and Auburn keeps winning.
Yes.
Yep. Jason, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that's going on here before we run out of time.
Yeah, check us out at auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. Find us on all the social media platforms, all those things, and check us out. And, again, a lot going on. Still kind of keeping a pulse on the basketball portal, mm-hmm. too. Kind of doing some spring football recap, doing some of those things. Obviously, baseball, keeping up with softball, women's tennis. So, yeah, Christian golf and doing all that. So, we got it all locked in there. So, come check us out.
All right, Jason, thanks a lot. Stay safe.
Yes, you guys too.
All right, we are halfway done. Adam Cole joins us at hour number two. Hope you will as well. Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. It is not wet yet, but it won't be long.
On the way.
It will not be long. We've been keeping an eye out. We are under a tornado watch here in Auburn. There are tornado warnings for Autauga, Lowndes, and Montgomery counties. We saw some video there on Channel 12 on WSFA that is pretty scary looking with the wind and rain which appears to be headed our way.
Yeah, I have to imagine that there have been disruptions at Montgomery Airport just based on the weather there. And then, yeah, it would seem like if you're going to be on 85 between Montgomery and Auburn at any point in the next hour or so, brace for severe weather, and then it's going to be pushing east towards Auburn, mm-hmm. towards Bill Cameron Estates. It's looking like it's headed. That's what Jason was describing, right? It's headed
Well, it generally does.
Right,
I mean, I have said that, and it's funny that you don't hear more talk about that. It makes sense that severe weather is going to follow the path of least resistance, which would be clearings like interstates. It's sort of like water following riverbeds, yep. You know. So I mean, it will do that. So it'll come up the interstate, and we'll be headed this way before too long. We're under a flood watch until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning as well. So that means there's going to be a substantial amount of rain when it hits. So be ready for that, folks. If you have things that need, you're concerned about flying around, you may want to either bring them in or, fasten them down.
Patio furniture, anything outside
pets.
That could become debris. Pets can very easily become debris.
I've had furniture and things like that wind up in the pool.
Dusty's become debris before. That you're going to tell a story.
He's bright enough to hide around a corner or something like that. He's also not the lightest pet.
Make either. Sure, it's got to be a heck of a storm, right? He's going to throw Dusty around. Make sure what the batteries work in the flashlights, right? That's always one that
lot of people go, what? What's a flashlight?
Brace yourself.
You mean
for
your
that
phone?
It's like, but anyways, yeah. So some gnarly weather coming in the next. In the next few hours to the Auburn-Opelika area, and prepare yourselves accordingly.
Mm-hmm. It's hour number two here on Wednesday, and that means Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser has made his way in. Got his rain jacket ready for the weather that's coming. Adam, how you doing, man?
Came prepared. Yeah, no, doing good. Just keep looking at the sky. It's
You're looking in the right direction. Yeah. It'll be coming from the direction you're looking right now.
It's doing good. Just another Wednesday. So yeah,
it's good. It's probably fortuitous that Auburn doesn't have to try to stage baseball tonight this weather,
yes.
or even have to worry about that the next couple of days in the Auburn Opelika area. Mm-hmm. Although they got a heck of a baseball team to worry about this weekend.
There's some high school ball that's definitely being threatened by all this stuff. So, but university, no. Auburn baseball in Starkville. Teams right now that are tied for the fourth spot, which would be the final spot to be able to draw a double bye in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really huge weekend, and it was funny coming out of me, Jason, and Brian Matthews went to Birmingham last night for the midweek, and you look at the scoreboard, and it's 10-2, and you're like, well, that's, on paper, it looks pretty convincing, and
The first, then I heard Butch in the post game.
Right, right. And the first thing he said was, I thought that was the worst effort we'd put on the field in a long time. And, you know, it's one of those things where he said he wasn't upset, but at the same time, no coach is ever going to say this, right? But I wonder if that's kind of a good thing, a bit of a wake-up call.
I think so, too.
You know, of just like, yeah, we gotta lock in, and we can't do that against SEC competition, especially, I mean, this weekend in Starkville. That's, you know, you're walking into a potential buzzsaw there. So, it was a weird game. It felt like the
no homers.
Yeah. Well, there was Eric Guevara had one late. But yeah, I think that was the only one, and the majority of their scoring came from just one big inning. And yeah, on the mound, it just didn't. That was probably the least dominant Auburn's looked on the mound, I felt like, in a while. And, you know, a lot of it was you were throwing guys that hadn't
thrown
in a while. Right,
you're trying to save guys since you turn around and play starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was maybe the least convincing 10-run output and eight-run win I've maybe seen in a while. But, you know, I wonder if that's maybe – that was a good time for it, you know, especially considering it's still a win and not, you know, a 10-2 loss in a midweek. So,
well, when you have seven games in 8 days, mm-hmm. including that doubleheader this past Saturday, and really your only days off were Monday and today, and it's travel is involved as well. It's understandable. I mean, it's sort of foreseeable, but it's good that you get a win and you realize that, hey, you know, all right, you won, but that's not the way that you have to play, or you're not going to achieve that goal of being a national top eight seed.
Right, and it was, you know, the game wraps up, and you look down from the press box, and the first thing I see is in the dugout. It's like everybody is attuned to one person who you can't see over the roof, and I'm sure it was Butch, but that was kind of the early sign of it. It was like, well, I mean, do you ask him about it? It didn't look like the pitching was just, you know, in total command, and, you know, the offense had its moments, but whatever. And then it was just like after that, it was like, okay, you know, maybe my instincts are on the right track there. But, it's going to be an interesting weekend, I think, especially with it being a short weekend and all the changes you've got to make on the mound. You know, you move Marciano to Thursday now and put Alvarez on Friday. But I wonder, too, if we're going to see just I don't know that you would ever expect anybody to have the renaissance, if you will, that Jackson Sanders did when he made his move to the bullpen. But mm-hmm. I think an opportunity like this, I just always think they set up for, you know, especially now that you've seen it with a guy like Sanders. I wonder if you're going to see somebody fall into a new role and take advantage of a new opportunity to where maybe you feel like you have a new piece in a different way out of that bullpen or on the mound, you know. But going to be a tall, tall task going up against this team in Starkville.
Yeah, and State's throwing an outstanging lefty tomorrow night. And lefties, you know, even though Auburn has really been swinging the bats well lately, lefties have given Auburn a little more trouble than right-handers.
Yeah, no, that's something we've never really gotten to, like, I don't know that Butch has been asked the question of, like, it seems like there's struggles against left-handed pitching, but that it's something you've seen in the
against
box score.
Good lefties.
And yeah. But yeah, that's I'd never know how to pronounce his name. Starts with a V, right?
Well, Jason was talking about the fact that he and his brother pronounce their names differently.
Right, right.
which is crazy.
Yeah, you don't see that that much at all. But he's, I mean, I haven't gone back and like looked into the weeds of just like his last few outings. But Jason was saying last night, I think his strikeout to walk ratio is like 92-16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to be on point at the plate. You're going to have to be just locked in on that approach and, you know, just picking your spots and seeing what you can do against that, because that might be one of your tallest tasks yet in terms of what you're dealing with your lineup. So we'll see where it all goes, but you'd love to come out of this with, I think, bare minimum, as long as you avoid a sweep, you're you know, you're still in cruise control. But if you can come out of this with a series win, that's setting up great.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, I think that kind of locks you into where you want to be of a top eight national seed if you can come out of this with a couple wins.
I think the bullpen is maybe even more impressive than what you've, because going into the season, the starting lineup, I think you knew that there was the potential there, and it was just a matter of like who was going to emerge, and there were guys that there are the players that have ended up taking those roles, but you also had some players that we don't really talk about anymore, where it's like, who of these 7 or 8 candidates is going to emerge as Auburn's top 3 or 4? The bullpen felt like a total dice roll, maybe beyond, Hetzler? Right, like I mean, it was
Hetzler was the guy that you thought was going to be the closer. I mean, but now that Jackson's moved to the bullpen and has been so dominant, but LJ Cormier has been just a tremendous find as a true freshman, and that's something that's really unusual.
Yeah, especially I mean that relief role and the way that I feel like everything I see out of him, at least in terms of the most consistent stuff, is it looks locked in up top. Like mentally, it just looks like he's able to handle it and get through a situation in a way that I wouldn't expect many freshmen to do in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, most freshmen don't have a dad that pitched in the majors for a while.
That's
either.
Also very true, and I imagine that helps a ton. You know, yeah. I can't imagine the education he got growing up of just having that in your back pocket and that resource of knowledge. But no, the bullpen's probably been the most fascinating part of this team, and because I feel like it's had the most kind of shift and change throughout the year of. You know, Garrett Brewer was another guy who mm-hmm. looked like a piece mm-hmm. out of the bullpen. And you know, he's been kind of up and down, but came in last night. And even though, he didn't. That was Jet Johnston who gave up those last couple runs. But, you know, he came in, buckled down, and I think he struck out the side. He got at least 2 strikeouts. But that's a guy who you're still kind of – if you can get him consistent, that'd be swell. But, you know, obviously Sanders, Kulik looked pretty good. Last night, that's another guy.
He's looked pretty good recently. Mm-hmm. He really has.
Yeah,
and Abe Chancellor.
Yeah, Abe Chancellor didn't have it as much last night because he's been really like it feels like he's been quite the strike thrower and mm-hmm. he gave up a few walks. That was the third time in the last 10 games Auburn's given up at least 5 walks. But the last 2 were SEC competition. It was the loss I think at Florida and then I think it was game 2 of the A&M series. They issued 5 walks, but. No, the bullpen's just—it's one of those things where I'm not going to be shocked at all if it continues to kind of figure itself out as you get into the postseason too. You know, I think about 2022, and obviously the names that you think of on the mound are like Mason Barnett and Trace Bright and the way they came on in starting roles. But the guy who I feel like never got really talked about much in that on that team on that pitching staff was John Armstrong, and he was a freshman at the time too, and that was when he kind of came out and. Really started to take on that whole sort of jam buster role, but I think that's a side of this team, an aspect of this team that I'm not going to be shocked at all if you continue to see guys kind of step into roles and take on bigger responsibilities moving forward.
Yeah, I mean they've got quite a few options, which is again I think this is the deepest team that Butch has had both on the mound and as far as you know position players. I mean they have guys that if given the opportunity they have shown in the past that they can produce. So I mean it is it's a great situation to have, and that's something that we were talking about a little yesterday. I mean Auburn's been fortunate they haven't had a big injury. Mm-hmm. I mean you cross your fingers and hope that nothing happens here, you know, the rest of the way. But I mean they've had some guys miss some time, and you know I mean Eddie just you know really starting to. Looked like the hitter that everybody saw back in the fall before he got hurt, but they haven't had anybody that's had to, you know, have an extended loss or loss for the season.
Yeah, and I think really like the only 2 guys I would put in that category are obviously like, you know, it's not in the lineup, but Drew Whalen, and that's one of those.
You're right.
I think that one's just so fascinating because it's. It's easy to forget about it.
Yeah, I did just now when I was talking about it, and he was a guy that was like your number 4 guy.
And I just, you know.
He was sort of the Jackson back then.
And you're sitting in a very good place right now, and I think you're very happy with where you're sitting. I wonder where you would be sitting if you still had Drew Whalen at full health.
But it may have not created the opportunity for guys like LJ or something, you know?
Exactly, you know. So that's one, and then. Butch mentioned him the other day, which I thought was my brow furrowed. I don't know that we'd see him if he did get to this point. But Ryan Farber, who was as I remember
your starting shortstop,
right? Like he was the most decorated position player in that transfer class, and then had a foot injury, if I'm right. And he was taking BP last night at Regions. I think Butch said last week it'd be maybe a couple weeks at least until you could see him maybe on the field, but. I wonder how far behind he'd be, right, so to speak. And then, you know, Logan Gregorio got a couple of bats last night. Looks like he's still shaking off the rust a little bit, but that'd be a lovely one. If you could get him back to form and have him at that DH spot, that just, I mean, the more that lineup can be cemented right now, the better. But yeah, no, you've really, I think in the grand scheme, been pretty fortunate on the injury front, even though you've had a couple, you know, but like you said, there really hasn't been that much of a
critical
of significance.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I mean, think about it, though. I mean, a lot of teams heading into the season, a guy that was competing for a starting weekend shot in the rotation and your starting shortstop, mm-hmm, you lose those guys, that might, you know, mm-hmm, just crush you. It might ruin you for the year. And that's where Auburn's been really fortunate. They've had, you know, other guys that have been able to step up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the opportunity that's been allowed from those things. And even, you know, I mean, like Griffin Graves, too. Right. That's one I forget about. But, you know, the way this rotation's set up, it's you wonder how dominant it would look if Griffin had, you know, hadn't had that injury, so to speak, and how much it would have changed. And
he may have been your Friday night starter,
right,
before he got hurt,
right. And then I think about like the Chris Rembert injury early in the year and, mm-hmm, what that did for Brandon McCrane. So yeah, no, you've been blessed in that regard, and up to this point, for the most part, I think you've been blessed with the, I know it sounds silly to point this out, but the weather. I feel like every year it just seems like there's one series or, yep, at least a couple that just get thrown out of whack. And
oh, it seemed like, you know, for just about every year you're playing ridiculous doubleheaders starting at 11 o'clock on, you know, either Saturday or Sunday, you know, just to try to get the games in. And yeah, Auburn's been very fortunate in that case.
Yeah. So, no, you've been lucky in those regards. And I don't know. I mean, is there going to be any weather this weekend in Starkville?
I think it's supposed to be all right. I think that
they're
bad
worried
stuff
about
pretty much moved
through. I know they're worried about next weekend because with Josh Donaldson coming, right, in, right, mm-hmm, the bringer of rain is, you know, you've got concern about whether or not you're going to be able to get those Georgia games in. No, I think the weather in Starkville is supposed to be okay once Friday afternoon. Well, I guess we'll know. They're playing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Let me see what we got for Starkville. According to our pals at, well, there's a 95% chance of rain tomorrow in Starkville, according to.
Oh, well, okay, there could be.
And that's, although, you know what, earlier in the day. So,
okay,
so
tomorrow's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, so maybe by noon or so you could have that weather roll out. No rain on Friday, a little bit of rain Saturday morning. And then supposed to be nice the rest of the day. Yeah. So,
all right, so it's 7:30 and 3
sounds,
are the games.
Sounds like afternoons and evenings could be okay. We'll see if bad weather lingers tomorrow in the area. That would be the biggest concern. But no, I think they should be okay. Unlike the Auburn Opelika area in the next couple of hours.
A lot of red on that map.
Yeah.
As we look up there and the red is now east of Shorter.
Looks like my checking account, Bill. Right, just red everywhere as you look at this. You look at this map.
All right, we will get to our. Let's get to our first break of the hour. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Come on in and join us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Mountain High Outfitters is celebrating 10 amazing years on South College.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio. And again, we're keeping an eye on the weather as some scary stuff is headed our way. Again, a tornado watch in effect for Auburn. Tornado warnings to our west. So we'll keep you updated if anything changes there.
Yeah, and a lot going on in the Auburn Opelika area, a lot going on involving Auburn University athletics. Not a lot of like football or men's basketball pressing news. We, you know, we're in a holding pattern there. Auburn's added a
commitment for next year.
And I think that Auburn,
the last
like
couple of days,
as the Swordsby stuff illustrates, I think Auburn football coaches are fine with it being
no news.
Yeah, I think 90 days without headlines is a fine development for a college football team this time of year, because
yeah, if you're not desperately looking to find somebody left over from the portal from December, then yeah, you're probably better off with there not being a lot of news.
And I know the Swordsby thing is like, you know, it generates headlines and stuff. I don't, beyond the idea that I'm pretty sure his college football career is over. and it's, you know, he's got some things he's got to sort out, and we'll see if he can get his career back on track. I think at the NFL level. Beyond that, I don't really know, like, what other angle there is to that Sorsby story, right? Like, maybe I'm missing, because I know people are like,
I wonder if he may have to get his career back on track in
Canada or something.
NFL Canada,
could be somewhere else first. But it's like, but I guess there is the, like, get ready, Texas Tech's gonna fight to get this guy on the field this fall, like, sort of thing. It's just I'd be stunned. I'm Adam, yeah. You know.
No, I'd be stunned too. It's just like I feel like the what we've seen handed down for gambling stuff in the past, I just everything I've read about it, I do not see a way for him to play for Texas Tech. I don't see it. Like, it feels simple and cut and dry at this point.
And maybe there is some hypocrisy in sports products that are like just absolutely saturated with gambling advertisements, right? And it's like, but you're not allowed to do this if you're a player. Like, we're gonna.
That's it's not like that's a new rule.
It's not a new rule. I think the amount of gambling advertising is new.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That's a relatively new thing. You know, I mean, you had you know, casinos in Las Vegas could advertise and stuff like that, but you didn't have a sports product that was just
right.
You know, every commercial and frequent mm-hmm. in
every break.
Every break, you know, yeah. There's a little DraftKings logo at the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout like the entire like you didn't have that, and so it is. There is probably some. I mean, rules are rules. There is an interesting, we'll call it a divide, right? Mm-hmm. A disconnect between the players. Exactly.
Yeah.
Players that are not allowed by any, like, right. You better not have this even, you know, don't even have this in your Google search history, as opposed to, yeah, you know, it seems like for the rest of us, it's not only, it's not only recommended, it's encouraged that you participate in this sort of stuff. And I mean, it doesn't feel like the last time we're going to have a situation where a promising college career is derailed because the temptation to gamble on sports was just too great. But this is we've been in the chair before, Bill, where like Auburn's been the story of the offseason, and it's mm-hmm. you know, the months leading up, it's been, you know, but very Auburn centric. I'm okay sitting back and letting someone else have their turn in the box and let Texas Tech try to sort this out, because and with no spring portal window, it feels like it's a really, really bad time to have this kind of scandal pop up, because you don't really have. I've said before, I kind of think Texas Tech should maybe like hire an FCS coach just so they can steal his quarterback, right? Because the portal opens up when you hire a coach away. Like, I'd find
that's
a quarterback.
That's about the only way.
I'd see if you can hire like Larry Scott, you know, sort of the, you know, find an FCS. The head coach and bring him on your staff and bring his quarterback with him. But you're right, like Bill said, it's just about the only way you're gonna. I mean, unless there's a JUCO guy out there that's been overlooked, and it's.
Oh, I'm sure there's a JUCO guy that's been overlooked.
It's early May.
Somebody that's gonna compete for a championship for you, though. So yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I mean, it's just something that can happen. It's really, I mean, it's. It is different, but I mean, it's the same situation a team would be in if you lose your starting quarterback here at the end of spring. I mean, now with no spring portal, that's just that's the way it is. And coaches that have healthy quarterbacks are just crossing their fingers, hoping they make it through the summer. And definitely Alex Golish is one of those guys. But yeah, it's not a big news time. I mean, Alex Golish has spoken to, you know, to an ambush and to media a couple of times, and it's now it's just, you know, keep track of everybody and see how summer workouts go and get ready for SEC media days in Tampa.
Yeah, I think what the most I've seen is there were a couple tweets yesterday that I think it's Auburn and Vanderbilt are hosting like a depth piece of an offensive lineman from Stetson.
Yeah, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, and I think it's just
he is a big guy.
Yeah, like I was just gonna say that's
six,
all I know.
300 and something pounder,
massive guy. I don't know if he played much at Stetson.
One thing I read about him said he started 15 games.
Okay, maybe he played a little.
And he has multiple years of eligibility.
Yeah, that's
I don't know where he did start. I would guess he's a tackle since he's 6'8". Mm-hmm. but I really don't know much more about him.
Yeah, that's all about all I know is
he's supposed to be in Auburn tomorrow.
Very large, and it sounds like a development piece to me. But yeah, you've got that, and you've got, I mean, softball just having a decent few days in Lexington.
How about that team? You know, today jumping on Texas A&M, mm-hmm. seeing them battle all the way back, and then mm-hmm. winning it with a 3-run bomb.
Yeah, that's, you know, it seemed like that was kind of the. You know, when you went out and put that staff together, I know Chris Malveaux's reputation was one of the best hitting coaches, hitting instructors, I want to say in the country, mm-hmm. you know, and so to be able to get that out of it. And then Riker Chasen, too, if I'm right, is the pitching coach's name, came over from LSU. And, you know, you wonder if you're seeing a little shades of the way the basketball season ended for Auburn, the men's team with this softball squad. If they're playing Florida tomorrow,
right.
I think it'd be
mm-hmm. the number 3 seed,
and if you win that one, technically you're eligible for the postseason, and you'd love to be able to, you know, at the very least make a little run in this conference tournament and get your way into that. But you know, take a little bit of momentum into the off season after, you know, I think it was a bit of a struggle, safe to say, in the regular season for them. But yeah, no, it's all pretty light. That golf's the number one overall seed again, and they're heading to Athens.
Yeah, women's tennis. Got another, you know, an opportunity for the first time ever hosting mm-hmm. a super regional here Friday. It's free again.
Mm-hmm. And year two of the Jordan Szabo era. So, yeah, no, for all the headliners, it's pretty light time of year, but there's a little bit of action for the non-revs out there right now.
So. And with softball, like, because of the RPI, right? Like there's the chance that if they can get
Jason said it. Yeah. I think he's right. I think if they are 500 mm-hmm. or better, they've got a really good shot of being in
because of what playing in the SEC does to your computer numbers, and the fact they did win some non-conference games earlier in the season. Like, yes, it was a team that had a really, really rough stretch in SEC play.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I like a diplomatic way to describe it, but yeah, it would be a huge step for Team Malvo. If they can slip into the postseason in year two, and they're playing, they're getting hot at the right time, you know, winning a couple of games in the SEC tournament. When, I mean, you know, Missouri's had a bad season too, so it wasn't all that mm-hmm. shocking what happened yesterday. But to beat A&M, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, A&M's, you know, nearly I think they're 30 plus wins on the year, maybe 40.
Top
like
15
a,
team.
I mean, it's a huge win.
Yeah,
and I know for A&M they weren't playing for a ton beyond. It's the SEC tournament. They like to win the tournament. Like, A&M knows they're in the
regional
host.
I mean, yeah.
But right, it's good to see Auburn. And for a team that lost 25-0 fairly recently to get off the mat and play like this. Like, I think it's a good sign mm-hmm. for the future. Like, look, life in the SEC in women's basketball or softball is like it's tough. Like it's really, really difficult to keep your head above water. I think it's a good sign that you've got a team still trying to fight like this.
Would you say those are the two like toughest sports in the SEC as far as like you said, keeping your head above water?
I think that like those are the two sports where you look and like a team in the bottom four can still be like national championship quality or like conference mm-hmm. championship quality. Like it's amazing how like even when you get past the top 10, top 12 teams in the league, I mean, the SEC sent, 14, 15 teams to the softball postseason
mm-hmm. last 14 year. 14 of 15.
I mean, it was already the best league, and then you add Texas and Oklahoma, who are genuine superpowers in that sport, like maybe the top two programs nationally mm-hmm. in that sport. So yeah, I would say that it's like it was already a gauntlet, and then you added Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, there's really not a break, you know. That's you want to avoid being the break.
Yeah.
Like you want to avoid being the weekend that teams don't have to worry about because every other weekend is so tough.
Yeah, I just remember like when I was still at Mizzou, they hosted the softball tournament one year, and it was still at the time where I don't know if it was one team or two teams didn't make it, but they were technically one of the teams that didn't make it, and they were hosting it, and their RPI was like 15th in the country. They were still like a lock to make the NCAA tournament, and that I remember at that point I was just like, I always thought that said a lot about the league, and that was, you know, well before Texas and Oklahoma were in the fold.
I think it's also that you don't have any other league like even close with that many. Like the Big 12 had a good league, but then they lost Texas and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lost their best two teams.
Right, and so I mean, it's that the SEC, Like, that's because even in sports where, like, football and men's basketball and baseball, where the SC has a lot of really quality teams, there are other leagues that have a lot of really quality teams too, and can maybe equal what the SEC has at the top. I don't think there's anything like this in softball. Like, and women's basketball has some of that too.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like there's not really, and sometimes the best team can come out of another league in both women's basketball and softball. Mm-hmm. I mean, UCLA just won the championship in women's basketball. Like, that can happen. But one through 12 as a league, you know, even deeper than that, yeah, nobody's got it like the SEC in those sports.
No, you're right. All right, 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Join us if you'd like. Anything on your mind? Questions? Thoughts? Comments? As we head into the final 25 minutes of the show here on this Wednesday.
Everybody, this is Jacob Goins from
and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser, and Butch Thompson letting us know that Jake Marciano will get the start on tomorrow. Thursday. Well, that is tomorrow. So, Adam, just your thoughts on that. I mean, it was a situation where, look, somebody was going to have to go on much shorter rest than they have all year, be it Jake, Andreas Alvarez, or Jackson Sanders. I mean, they were going to go on shorter rest.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, it's the most logical option of what you're looking at realistically there, right? Because I don't know that we've seen Marciano, I guess, technically, well, no, I don't think he has gone on shorter rest yet this year. And so yeah, no, like I think.
Remember, because when we moved up, when we bumped right. up, he stayed on Friday.
Right, right.
That's when you moved Dre in on Thursday.
And I think, like, you know, I don't know that it felt like he was super, super electric early in the year. And I don't know that that's necessarily maintained, but I do feel like he's been probably their most steady
probably
guy.
Probably most consistent.
You know? So, yeah, like, why not move him up to Thursday and you know, see how it shakes out? And, you know, with what you're looking at as far as just getting to where you want to be for the postseason, I don't know how much you're approaching it in the view of that as Auburn. You know, I don't know if they're looking at it like, well, we got to get to 16 wins and so-and-so. But, you know, if you can go out there and swipe one in game one and use Marciano, and I don't know that you'd move to Sanders right after him if you're in a good spot. But I think it should set you up pretty well and put you in a decent spot, because last weekend Alvarez went on, him and Marciano both went on Friday, right? That mm-hmm. was how that one shook
well,
out.
Well, both went on Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Okay, no, that was it, because it got pushed back. So, yeah. No, but I think you're in a good spot as far as that goes and how it looks. And, you know, you didn't throw Hetzler last night. There was a mention that maybe he'd get an inning last night. So you've got him on full rest, which is, you know, you always want to go into a weekend looking at that. So, yeah, I think it was the right move. It's certainly the one that makes the most sense, and you know, whoever it was going to be, they're going to be bound to have their hands full. So, yeah, we'll see, but I'll be interested to see how he looks coming out on short rest for the first time this year.
Yeah, as we mentioned, I mean, Mississippi State going with their ace, another lefty, young lefty who has been very impressive all year long. So, that doesn't mean that we won't have a 10-9 game, but, I mean, I don't expect there to be a ton of runs tomorrow. Although the ball can fly at Duty Noble.
Yeah, no, and this lineup this year, it feels like, obviously, you've got Brian O'Connor coming in and sort of this merging of, I think Butch referred to it as a merging of two programs last night, but I'd almost look at it as a merging of three with what you got in, I always forget his name, but brought over the pitching coach from Wake Forest, too, who just was, you know, Chase Burns, Rhett Lauder, mm-hmm. all those guys. But you've packed a lot of pop between, you know, Ace Reese, Teal as well, I think was Aiden Teal, I think was his name, came over from Virginia. I want to say they got Henry Ford was his name too. There's Ford.
You know about Tieford? Is Tieford's the Wake Forest guy, right?
No, that's
Auburn's.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, that's not what you were talking about.
No.
Okay.
No. But no, like they've you know, for a program that's as historically great as State is, and all the up and down of the last few years, it, you know, feels like you're getting to where you want to be if you're the program in Starkville as far as getting a little consistency established. But it's also just with the way Auburn's trending right now. You know, I don't know that you're necessarily optimistic going into the next two weekends as far as the results go. Like, it's going to be really tough, but I don't know that you're going to be...
Oh, you're not backing down from anything.
You're certainly not backing down. And, like, you know, if Auburn goes 4-2 the next two weekends...
Oh, my goodness.
You'd be tickled to death if you're
Auburn.
4-2,
I think they may be a top... four national seed.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be surprised if they go 4-2 the next two weekends, just with the way that they're playing right now.
I remember hearing about Brian O'Connor, you know, back in the Virginia days, and it's like this guy was, it's a little bit like Schlossnagel, where it's like pretty consistently rated among the top coaches in all of college baseball. Mm-hmm. Made sense as a guy for State to go get when they had, I mean, the Lemonis thing was so weird, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, he goes from national champion, and it's in pretty short order that he goes from that to out of the job.
You don't get to have too many.
You don't need to just be good,
and they weren't.
And he had a down. Well, he had a down year, right? Yes. Between winning the job and then, I mean, they had a down year and then a slow start when he was under pressure, and they end up making the change. But I think that the fact that O'Connor's got them where they are right now in year one shows you, like, that's what they think is possible if the right person is there and the right person is empowered in Mississippi State. And I mean, I wondered if it was going to be tough to get back to what they expect, and sure enough, it took it. And I guess, like Schlossnagel, mm-hmm. right? Like, when the right guy steps in, you can win very quickly in college baseball in the SEC.
Yeah, no, I think you're very right. And it's also, I just, every time Lemonis comes up and you know, the dip that State went through after 2021 and winning that title, you look at it, and I think we've talked about this, but, you know, they don't make the tournament the next year. Ole Miss wins it all. But then, if I'm right, Ole Miss didn't. I don't think they made the tournament the next year. And then you look at what LSU's going through this year. And
they're not a lock to make it now.
Yeah. So it's just like,
I mean, you've had five or six different SEC teams win it over the last 7 or 8 years, and it's been tough for the team that's won it mm-hmm. that next year.
And it's just I think what it shows you is just the sellout. You know, that may not be the perfect word for it, but the everything that you have to do to put into a roster to win a national title, you know, the cost, and I'm not talking just money. Right, I mean, right. There's the cost in the financial sense.
How much you have to
even
invest,
more so,
more,
yeah.
more than just money.
You know? So it's just one of those things where...
And how difficult it is then to
stay consistent on that level is such a... I don't want to call it impossible, because I don't know that it is impossible necessarily, but it's just such a hard thing to do, it seems like.
And Auburn hasn't won, but what Butch has been able to do with his roster over the last few years has been pretty amazing to see. I mean, the influx of young talent, I mean, freshman talent that we've seen. Dan and I have talked about that an awful lot. I mean, but it's very impressive to the way he's been able to stack classes and bring in, you know, really good contributors through the portal as well.
Yeah, just the instant impact of it all. And then I also think, too, about just like it's maybe such a cliche, but the finding the, I say in air quotes, the right guys, you know, like that is, there's an importance to that. And I think the best example is, you know, like I think about Ike Irish. I think about after 2024, like I wouldn't have been shocked at all if he went into the portal and went wherever he decided to go. Because
don't think he didn't have some offers.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for a second. But I also don't doubt for a second either that after the season ended, I don't doubt it for a minute that I was maybe just like, yeah, no, I'm back. Because that, I mean, that was just kind of Ike's disposition, but it's like that's finding the right guys, right, who are going to be committed to you in that way in spite of the results sometimes can be, you know, it's a hard thing to quantify or even write about sometimes, but that can, I mean, that can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and we can talk about how that there's similarities in that and basketball with Tahad. Returning. We need to get to our final break.
I heard a little rumbling outside.
I wonder if you saw a bolt or something.
No, give it a second.
Oh, that's great. All right, we'll get to our final break. I think we'll be back on the other side, so stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Were you shocked last time you bought groceries, filled up your gas tank, or paid monthly bills? We need leaders who care about Alabama families.
390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Final few minutes of the Wednesday Drive. Still dry in our parking lot.
We haven't mentioned some big news involving our pal Adam Cole.
Oh, no. Congratulations.
How about that,
Thank
Adam?
Thank you.
What is the APSE? We were trying to guess the acronym. Associated Press Sports Editors, right?
Yes, but it's not a part of the Associated Press,
sure.
as I understand it, at least. But no, it's like they do every year. They do an annual sports writing, you know, competition. And you know, I had somebody text me yesterday morning and tell me I'd been first place in the, you know, my circulation division's beat writing category. And they announced the top 10s back in February. And I told my friend, I was like, I thought that was it back then.
Well, I had somebody ask me, is Auburn being called a Class D something? And I said, no. I think that has to do with the publication.
Yeah, no. So that's just, circulation size,
right,
for the advertiser. But no, that was, you know, it was a very good Tuesday yesterday. So
cool.
Thank you,
congratulations.
Guys. No, I appreciate that. But
no, it's just very cool. Wanted to give that a mention and of course, give you ample time to tell everybody how to follow all the work you're doing with the advertiser?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, if you're looking to go straight to the source, just head to montgomeryadvertiser.com and click on sports at the top, and you should get a little drop down, and the word Auburn will be right there. And if you just click on that, you'll have everything you need. And if you're looking for me on social media, you know, whether that's TikTok, Twitter, just search at Cole Reporter, and that's my last name, Cole, and the word reporter, and you're gonna be able to find me just wherever you're looking for me. So, yeah. No, it's such a cool honor. It's been a whirlwind since I got to the paper back in November of 2024. There's been, you know, a head coach firing in football, a head coach hiring. There's been a coaching change in basketball. Obviously, you've had a Final Four. I'm trying to think what else. You know, the Super Regional last mm-hmm. year. You know, obviously it's not Omaha, but that packed a lot of history in and of itself.
Yeah, the first.
Right. So it's been. No, it's been really, really busy. I think once we got on the other side of the Alex Golish hire, I just remember thinking to myself, I was like, I hope I don't have to cover two coaching changes in a single year ever again. But no, makes for a lot of fun stories and fun things to write and report on. And no, it was really nice yesterday to get a little bit of recognition for that, because it was a really busy year for sure. So yeah.
Well, that's great. And we mentioned a while ago, there's not a lot of football news. You did mention that there is a transfer portal visitor coming in tomorrow. Basketball, we're still waiting.
Yeah,
I guess for that last piece.
Yeah, no, I guess that was a week ago mm-hmm. Tuesday that, you know, it was about 1 to 2 weeks. You know, a couple weeks, I think, is what Stephen Pearl said. So
we're into the second week.
Yeah. So we'll see what it looks like. And of course, you know, I forget if.
Oh, today's Mantis's birthday, by the way. Isn't
okay.
It? Yeah, isn't it? I think it was May 6th. Yeah.
Okay. Well, who knows?
He's 24 now.
Okay, and that would leave him 1 year.
That would leave him out.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay. So
unless he's. I think in school or maybe signed. We don't really know.
Yeah.
But
no.
I mean, yes, if your clock starts at 19,
right.
20,
okay,
21, 22,
five.
23,
okay.
When you turn 24, that would be the final chime.
Hmm. Man. So this is going to get interesting.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's about all I know.
Is today his birthday?
That's what I
think
thought.
Today is Montes' 24th birthday.
I thought it was the 6th.
Yeah. I think that is right. So happy birthday, Montes.
Yeah. Wherever you are.
Yeah. You can almost rent a car. right? You're coming up on that legal age, right? But the rules may in fact change and limit a 24-year-old coming over from Europe from being able to play college basketball.
Just a couple of weeks from now, I believe. I think on the 22nd is when that comes up for a vote.
And they would want June 1st to be the date it takes action. So yeah, I mean that's. I mean, you get the feeling Auburn's not done, but and
no, I definitely feel like Steven wants one more.
I do wonder if there's anyone from the world of college basketball that they're looking at, or if most of the attention is towards either Montas or other international prospects, because there is a
Will Wade's in that same boat, except he needs a whole roster.
There's a great big world out there.
He's saying today that LSU is going to rely on international players to fill out their roster.
He does, in fact, need a whole roster.
Yes. Well, I think he has one player. All right. Adam, we really appreciate it. Thanks for coming in. Maybe we can make it to the car before the bottom.
Okay, the rain started coming
down.
Yeah,
there we go.
So there we go.
As the music's playing.
Good timing.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Wednesday drive. You know, unless we wash away, we'll be back tomorrow. Ferg going to try to be with us tomorrow?
I believe so.
Good. So we'll look forward to that. But that's going to do it for the Wednesday drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.